You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver three essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Hey, what's going on? Joe Roscoe here, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. With clients in over 20 Broadway shows, other clients in college musical theater programs or regional stages, or some international clients as well, we train actors on an online fitness app because we believe that actors are athletes. So if you want to start training like one, go to the website builtforthestage.com and you'll be working with me one-on-one in a free trial. So you can check that out at builtforthestage.com. All right, let's get on to our special guest today. Special guest as always, all the way over in London. Once again, for those of you that have been listening to the podcast, I just took a trip out to London for 13 days. And I saw 13 shows. Can you believe it? And my second show that I saw was Frozen. I had seen Frozen a couple of years ago with some clients of mine on Broadway. And I was lucky enough to meet some new friends and to see the production in the West End. It was fabulous. I'll get to chat a little bit with our guest about it. Our guest is in the ensemble. They also cover the role of Hans. And they've done a handful of other things. And by handful, I mean a lot. But just to name a few, they were in Evita recently at the Regent's Park Open Air Theater. Tina Turner, the musical that I freaking am obsessed with at the Aldwych Theater. And a whole list of more. I'm going to put that in the description of this episode. You can check that out after you're done listening. So please welcome to the podcast, Rodney Vubia. Hey, Rodney.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Happy Tuesday over there in London on your day off. Congratulations, your day off.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Tuesday from London to you.
You said what? How long has it been since you've had a day off? A long time.
So we opened the show on the 28th of September. Well, this new cast anyway. But we started rehearsals back on the 15th of August. And we've been rehearsing Tuesdays till Sundays to kind of fit in line with the show schedule. But on top of that, I also have cover rehearsals because I'm covering Hans, fortunately. So the 2 days a week that we usually get off for the show has been condensed to one for the last month or so, which has been, you know, a day off in itself is gratitude in itself. But yeah, 2 days off is very much needed after a four-show weekend, especially because we do two on Saturday and two on Sunday. So yeah, Monday, Tuesday of this week have been blissful so far. So I can't complain.
The theater that you all perform in, I just spoke, like I'd mentioned before we hit record, I was talking with Anna Woodside. I didn't bring this up. But the venue, the theater, is just beautiful. Beautiful.
It really is. The Theatre Royal Drury Lane is a landmark in London history. And it is kind of the epicenter of and has been for a long time, of huge, huge productions, particularly musicals. Because it's so big. It's so big as a venue.
Yeah.
And the front of house looks like this really plush hotel. And it's just gone through a massive, massive large-scale refurbishment, granted. But it looks so grand. And then you come into the front of house. Then you come to the theatre and it's like four tiers of this again, like splendid like grandeur. And the backstage kind of reflects that because it's so big as well. So I'm very, very lucky and grateful and fortunate to be to finally be playing at the First Royal Drury Lane, because it's a part of London history, and Frozen suits the venue very well. So yeah.
It is quite the grand show for sure. Yeah. So when you're, how do you stay? We'll like jump in. It's not a tough question, but like a more serious question. How do you stay within yourself in such a great space like that, where you're looking out and the house is just that large?
That is a good question, actually. I haven't really thought of that.
Maybe that's a good thing.
It is. Yeah. On the spot. You're going to get the most authentic answer that I could give you. I know when we first got in and we started putting what we were rehearsing in the studio onto the stage, the first couple of times getting on that stage for warm up, for instance, with Anna leading it, I would look up, and I'm usually used to, you know, two tiers or three tiers with Western theatres I've played in so far, but like this one, with that extra tier, it just takes it all the way up. And with a lot of the ensemble big numbers, like the end of First Time and Forever, for instance, or the end of Hands of the Southern Isles, the reprise just before the interval and Let It Go, a lot of our direction was to really play it for that grand and that big a theatre. And so we were kind of briefed from that from the get-go. So I've kind of tried to implement that within a lot of my like surges forward within our characters or like our big ensemble like climaxes. And it's still a lovely feeling. I've been in this industry professionally for almost 7 years now, and I am so grateful that I can still get that great rush and sense of satisfaction when I look out onto all four of those tiers, and it's usually packed every night. So it's a very humbling experience, and it's a very it's very humbling, I can tell you that.
For you, this will be nothing new, but for our audience in the States, it will be. So in the States, the first tier, the ground floor, if you will, we call the orchestra mm-hmm. seating. And you all call it, I believe, stalls.
Yeah. Stalls, yeah.
And then you have the what we would call the mezzanine is the royal circle. Is that what it?
Well, yeah. In the First Royal Drury Lane, it's, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, you can't. Well, I'll correct myself if I'm wrong. we call it the royal circle, but in other theatres, that's usually known as the grand circle.
Okay.
The dress circle. See, I'm already getting you wrong. That's usually the dress circle. And then the grand circle is usually the third tier. But weirdly enough, in our theatre, the second tier is the royal circle. And I can't tell you off the top of my head what the last two are. But we call it the royal circle, and then the ground floor, the stalls. Yeah.
That's why I brought it up, because we would say balcony, mezzanine, I'm sorry, orchestra, mezzanine, balcony, but in a fourth tier, I don't know what we would call that. I don't know either.
I wish I could tell you, and I should know myself. But the fourth tier until we know.
I'm sure there's some Broadway fanatic listening to this right now, like screaming at their phone or laptop saying, it's called this.
I know. Literally putting us to shame.
Yeah, because also off the top of my head, I don't know what Broadway house has four tiers, if there even is one. I'm sure there is. But anyways, the Broadway theater is quite large, where West Side Story had played in King Kong. Anyways, that's a whole other thing, but I figured I'd bring it up as a fun little topic. So I haven't talked about Tina, the musical, because it was one of my favorites from 2019. I believe I saw it before the world ended when the pandemic hit. And I just loved it so much. Tell me a little bit more or tell us a little bit about that experience, because much different than Frozen. Yes. Much different.
Yeah. Just marginally different. So Tina will always hold a very special place in my heart. So this is, what, God, where am I taking you back to? So January 2018, I got the real pleasure of being cast as a swing in this brand new original world premiere production of Team of the Teen Tiny Musical, which would then, you know, bring to stage, and rightly so, the absolute oracle journey, epic story that this hero of mine for a long time and to many others has experienced in her life on this earth. And it was a very special moment because we weren't only the UK premiere. We weren't just we were the world premiere, and she chose London to originate telling that story. And being a part of that original company, it's the first original company I've been a part of. It was a very privileged and very, very special moment for me. And the rehearsal process was very rewarding as a consequence. And it was a trying year. It was 15 months because as well as the usual 12-month contract we would have on starting performances, we had about a three-month rehearsal and tech process leading up to that. So it was full on. But I just finished at the Book of Mormon. Actually, I crossed over. I was doing my second year at the Book of Mormon and rehearsing for this show at the same time. And that was the first time I doubled up on shows. So the first 2 weeks were a bit hard. But once I finally got to Tina and Tina alone, it was wonderful. It was incredible seeing this story unfold and seeing, first of all, I take the most pride that it gave a platform and a stage to so many wonderful, strong, ferocious Black women that I've known in the industry for years and who I grew to, who I met and grew to love. And to this day, we have a very, very special bond with our Tina cast. We have a WhatsApp group, 4 years later that is still thriving and strong. And it was wonderful to just see, and Adrienne Warren, our original Tina Turner, watching her craft and her process, because it was not easy, but she was a phenomenal talent, and it was wonderful. And we met some wonderful people along the way. We met Tina. She came by, how many times did she come by? Three times in the end before we finished anyway, my cast in 2019. So it was an experience I'll never forget. It was hard, but it was very, very satisfying watching that story come to life in the most epic way.
Yeah. To me, what stood out still to this day was the finale, or the remix finale, or whatever it was called. But I just sat there and I'm like, they're not going to do more. No way are they going to do more right now.
It was very, very that. It was because, within the rehearsal process, and as a swing as well, it's the only time I've been a swing, and it was a very humbling experience, because you're not on every night, and especially originating or being a part of a process originating a show, you really take that step back and you wait for your turn, because these guys, the ensemble and the starting cast, were they're creating this show from scratch. So there's a lot of waiting in the stores or the orchestra or the dress circle, especially during tech, kind of waiting for these things to unfold. But then I digress. It very quickly became apparent that this is a girls' show, and rightly so. This is a show to give that stage, as I mentioned before, to these ferocious lionesses who, throughout the show, within the big numbers, make the hard work that they did look very easy and very organic. And that was very important to Tina, because she choreographed pretty much everything that they did back in the day with Ike and beyond. But she was very, very strict and very particular about it not looking too choreographed. Mm-hmm. And for there to be a real raw authenticity to it with the way the ladies would flick their legs and arms. They were doing much more than that. But with like Proud Mary, for instance, and that number closing towards the end of Act One, they just go hell for leather, and then Disco Inferno at the top of Act Two. But then you're right, it comes to the bows after Simply the Best, and then you think, surely these ladies are done. And they're not. They do a whole like mega mix of Nutbush going into Proud Mary, where they just don't stop. And in the Aldrich Theatre, it's in a slight rake. So These ladies were busting their guts and their calves on a nightly basis. Yeah. And all I could do was like bow down to them. And I've seen it twice since I've left. And I still get the same feeling of pride and fulfillment watching those ladies, you know, do the damn thing. So yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So you brought up Book of Mormon as well. So Book of Mormon, Tina, Frozen. I want to ask, you know, this being a fitness-based podcast or brand, there's a big part of fitness is about being consistent. And what I'm gathering is that you're booking these things consistently. Obviously, you're a very talented person. But as we all know in this industry, talent kind of only goes so far. What else has it been about your practice within your career that you think, your opinion, that has produced this consistent booking, if you will? What are some things that you are consistent with that produces these, outcomes?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. I've always been an active person, and I've always had like a natural athleticism to me. Fortunately, it's been like ingrained with me from a young age. My dad was a professional footballer before we came over to London, and just before I was born, and he indoctrinated, I think, from a young age, whether I liked it or not, a discipline for just fitness and activity. And so though I'm not the biggest fan of like a gym setting myself personally, I love to do stuff at home that just get the blood going, get me active. And actually the pandemic, God, I can't really, that's the thing of the past, but it's still very much prevalent. But anyway, the pandemic kind of brought to light some practices that I hadn't really done before, that I said to myself, right, okay, I'm here. That all I'm doing is being here. What can I do to kind of just like maintain the show fitness that I usually have, you know, doing these shows? And I took up some yoga that I didn't really know I loved or had a love for, and that was just in my front room. And then I adopted some HIIT classes off YouTube, and friends of mine during the pandemic in the first like proper lockdown would take to social media to kind of promote their platforms and do HIIT workouts. And I would be like, yeah, I want to support a friend, so I'm going to do it on Instagram, you know, Instagram Live and stuff like that. And I think very many people can sympathize with that. But like that kind of fortunately introduced me to stuff that I could do at home at my own pace with no other eyes watching. And that I've kind of bled into my professional and the show, again, doing a physical warm-up every single day with, you know, with Anna, our dance captain leading it, that gets me going because you know you need that discipline to sustain it.
Yeah, how about that's amazing. Outside of the fitness part, with it correlating straight to your career and auditioning success, obviously you have to successfully audition to book these roles. When you have the roles, you then have to show up and produce a good product, because the industry is small and people will say, what do you think about this Rodney? Like, how was Rodney for you in this, you know, so on and so forth. Beyond the fitness or beyond the singing, dancing, acting, is there anything else that you would attribute your success to? Journaling, meditation, your friend circle, a mentor of yours? What do you think is another like separating factor that has helped you with this consistent success?
Again, another great question. Thank you. I've got a handful of things. My friends and family are hugely, hugely important to me. And as I've gotten older, and I think a lot of people can sympathize with this and relate, it's getting smaller and smaller in terms of those who I can count on and those who I surround myself with people who want me to be the most authentic and grounded and powerful self that I can be. And I think that's hugely important, because especially within this industry, and this is a generalization, but a generalization nonetheless, it can be quite fickle and it can be quite performative and very surface level. And it's taken me a long time, and I'm still learning, you know, with each day as it goes. To know that like not everyone's in it for the same reasons, and I'm grateful that I have adopted a discipline in myself that I know what this industry means to me. I know what my craft means to me and how important it is to me. But I also know how important it is for my family and friends to see me thrive and succeed. And I do, of course, I do it ultimately for myself, but to make them proud with everything that I do is the best achievement for me. Because music is a very integral part of my life. It always has been. And I also try to not make musical theatre my absolute all-consuming thing for every single day. I make sure that I still exercise the part of my skill set that I love first. That's making music with my voices, and I love to sing, and I love to sing things that aren't musical theatre. So I love to do gigs, and I love to do cabarets when given the opportunity, and to just sing what I love to sing. And you know, I love to also go and watch other things to be inspired, because it's so easy to be bogged down and to kind of get inundated with or consumed by just the show that I'm doing. But I need to kind of like exercise my brain and just be inspired elsewhere. So I have few things. I hope that answers your question.
I love that. I think that is a key component to success in this industry, is moderation away from this industry. Because when you're so infatuated or tight-fisted about one given thing, it's like the more you press and force and force and force, the further away you kind of push yourself from that inevitable success that might be waiting for you.
Exactly.
So music, what kind of genres do you like singing?
Oh goodness. I'm an old soul. I always have been. And I'm grateful for my mom, whether my dad purposefully did or not. I've always been surrounded by great music and good music taste in my household. So I grew up with the greats, divas, and you know, Motown and the great Close Part groups. Like, I love harmonies. I love Close Part singing like that. But I have quite an eclectic taste in music. I know quite a lot of people say that, but I really do. I love all music. I grew up singing a lot of classical music in the schools that I went to. So classical choral based music has been my foundation. But as I got older and as I found my voice, I'm still finding my voice, I gravitate towards more like bluesy jazz singing and soul, really. Luther Vandross is my inspiration. Stevie Wonder is a number one. Mariah, like these are people that helped inspire and mold the voice that I do today. But in recent gigs in the last couple of years, a knack that I've realized I love doing is getting a big like dance tune or like a pop commercial song and finding an acoustic backing track or finding a friend on the guitar and just like stripping it down and like turning it on its head. And I love doing that because I love finding new ways of reinventing music that I love to dance to and, you know, I love to listen to on the street. But I've been doing that a lot recently and it's gone down well. So I'm going to continue to do that until people are sick of me singing acoustic ballads that used to be like dance tunes. So yeah.
I love a good acoustic cover. Is there anywhere like, do you have a gig coming up? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have singles? Like, can we shout you out anywhere? Like, where can we see any of this to somewhere or listen?
Oh, bless you. I do a gig every now and again at a bar called Freedom in Soho in London on their Mondays or Tuesday nights because they've been very good to me over the decade I've been going there as a punter, I guess. But like, it's an amazing opportunity. It's just an amazing opportunity for me to sing stuff that I like. I don't necessarily have a YouTube channel. It's just all on my Instagram. I have videos there aplenty. I'm not the greatest at being proactive and getting more of it done because I kind of like to focus on this at the moment. But like, I don't know. I'm kind of getting into a headspace of seeing what the next 10 years hold. And I'd love to make the segue into kind of session singing and backing singing for artists and for companies. But like, yeah, that's in the future. But at the moment, yeah, just my Instagram at Roddy Vibbia. Just like their videos, there are plenty. So yeah.
All right, amazing. So everyone, if you're watching on YouTube, you can just, there's the handle right there, Rodney Vibbia. If you are listening to this on a podcast, just check it out in the description of this episode and make sure you give Rodney a follow. Okay, Rodney, we'll end the episode with something fun and lighthearted. So we have a lot of people from the Broadway community and the U.S. listening. If people are fortunate to come to London to visit, to see some West End shows, but also to explore the city, what are some of your go-to spots in London that you're not going to find on like a Google search? What's some of your like, where's a place we could find you?
Okay. You're all with the good questions today and you're really, this is great. See, I've lived in London all my life. I was born in Uganda, but moved to London with my parents when I was a year old. So London is my home and it's where my heart is. I would say some of the parks that we have in London are really, really beautiful. There's Victoria Park in East London. So just off the Hackney and Haggerston Shoreditch area, which is really, really stunning and kind of has still got a lot of the East London charm and like has escaped some of the gentrification that a lot has happened in London. So I'd say Victoria Park in East London. I would say, Borough Market is probably one of the things that is suggested on a tourist guide, but Borough Market just by London Bridge is so good. If you love food, if you love wine, if you love delis, if you love a hub, like a hubbub of an atmosphere of like bustling London community at its best, I'd say Borough Market as well.
So, all right, yeah. I'm hoping to come back in March very soon. So you just mentioned food and I'm a huge foodie and all about it. Where's your go-to restaurants or like hole in the wall places that like that you go to?
Yeah. So I love all food. All food. I like to change it up a lot. If I want a standard burger, I know this is probably quite basic. I love an Honest Burger. It's a great chain that we have over here. There's a place called in Soho on Old Compton Street. I like to go there every now and again. It's called Ciccone's Pizza Bar, part of like Ciccone's chain. But they do such good Italian food and the pizza and pasta there is divine. And the service is amazing. And it's just in the corner of Soho. So like literally afterwards, go out for drinks with friends or go to Freedom and sing an acoustic ballad for people who weren't suspecting it. So yeah, Ciccone's Pizza Bar, I could not sing more highly of.
I thought it was so funny how normal it is to be at a pub and having drinks and then just being able to exit with your glass and just stand on the sidewalk, whether in front of the pub or across the street or just wherever, just chilling out there. We actually, after a show, saw a fox running down the middle of London. A fox.
They're everywhere.
Really?
They are brazen. They are audacious. They are everywhere. Yeah.
Where do they? How do they end up in the middle of the city? There was no grass around or anything. Like, how do they end up there?
Your guess is as good as mine. I can't purport myself as an expert in that field, but they are very they're beautiful creatures. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
They are very loud. in the middle of the night, it's the strangest thing sometimes. Just hearing them go at it, but yeah, they are turning up even more often than before. So yeah, they're brave.
Huh. So we have a surplus of rats in New York City, and in London you have a surplus of foxes, huh?
There we go.
All right, last question for you. A little advice for the younger generation or the people out there that are in the midst of their career where maybe they're in a valley and they're, you know, looking to climb up to a peak. What was something that someone said or that you learned from someone as you were coming up in the industry that you still hold on to every day on a daily basis?
Okay. First and foremost, work hard. A lot of this industry, it is right place, right time, granted. But at the true core of that and the true core of success, certainly my success, has been hard work and focus, because that will set you apart from those who aren't. And it's becoming more and more clear, you know, with the power of social media and the power, you know, these platforms that are getting more broad, more widespread, wide scale, you know, talent is being separated. And hard work breeds that, do you know what I mean? And also I would say, just be you and authentically you from the get-go. Obviously you'll be like auditioning for a role and a part, that's acting, that's, you know, that's preparation, but they will fall in love with you. And if they don't, they're not for you. And when they do, you'll know. And I have prided myself in maintaining that ethos with every day that goes by, because I won't want to, everyone else is taken. So I need to have that at the core, that and hard work for sure.
I love that. I'm obviously on that train as well about being authentically you, but the first answer, just the simplicity of work hard. I think that it probably has always been this way, but people look for the magic formula or the secret potion or like all these things. But when it comes down to it, it's like, are you simply doing the work? You know, are you putting in the work? Yeah. And I think that somehow gets overlooked of like, maybe this person's just putting in the work and you could put in a little bit more.
No, I agree.
But okay, I love that. Okay, Rodney, not going to take up any more time of your day off. I wish you many more hours of lounging, amazing things to binge watch on your telly or TV, whatever y'all call it over there. You've been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me. You have been absolutely wonderful. And thank you this has been wonderful. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right. See you later, Rodney. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Rodney Vubia right there. Make sure you give Rodney a follow on the gram at Rodney Vubia. That's RodneyVubya. You can check that out in the description of this episode. If you're over in London, check him out in Frozen, and it's a fun show. So I highly recommend it. Again, I'm Joe Roscoe. If you haven't tried a free trial of Built for the Stage yet, go ahead to builtforthestage.com, and we'll be on our way chatting up together on an interactive fitness app. Until next time, actors or athletes, train like one. Later.
Thank
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.